CliffCentral.com.
The Sugar Babes and Push the Button. Sia just told me he left his phone at home.
I'm trying here to survive. Can I tell you how sad it is, though? I've even, like, downloaded WhatsApp on my laptop.
Yeah?
But it's not syncing with my phone at home, so I can't even send messages. Yeah.
It does feel like there's something terribly wrong when you discover that you've left your cell phone at home.
I don't know why, though.
It's like you cut off a limb.
Yeah.
Well, you forgot to put in your eyes when you got out of bed this morning. Oh, shit, my eyes are still at my bedside table.
Like, it really isn't going to be like I'll get home and I'll find a missed call from Oprah. Like, I don't understand why we have so much anxiety.
Yeah, it's totally irrational. It's not going to. Your life is not going to go horribly wrong just because you didn't have your phone here. It's ridiculous. I left my wallet at home yesterday.
Oh.
But that's okay, because these days you can get money out of an ATM with your phone.
You can.
True. Yeah,
you don't need a card, so I very quickly got over that.
But then what happens if that's the day you get asked for your license?
Well, luckily I've got it today.
Oh, man.
What are you going to do without your phone?
No, best believe after the show I'm going home.
But we've got a meeting in Midrand.
Oh, no, but between that, after the show and before the meeting.
Oh, okay. How long does it take you?
No, I'm now like, 17 minutes away from here, specifically.
All right, before we get into news, I heard this really interesting story about a guy called Percy Fawcett, who was an explorer. Do you know this story?
Mm-mm.
Fawcett like a tap.
Yeah, F-A-W-C-E-T-T.
Like Farrah Fawcett. Yeah. Okay.
So this guy disappeared in 1925 during an expedition to find an ancient lost city. And they say he was eaten by cannibals.
Oh.
Can you imagine? What a story, right? So let me just tell you about this final expedition of his. So he goes off into the Brazilian jungles, the Amazon. And he had canned food, powdered milk, guns, flares, a compass. He was traveling with, who was he chasing? His eldest son, Jack. And Jack's longtime friend. So it was a fun experiment that they would all do together. A nice bit of exploration. He chose two companions in order to travel lighter and with less notice to native tribes, because some of them were hostile towards Europeans.
Those native tribes were always hostile.
Yeah. He also had two Brazilian laborers, two horses, eight mules, and a pair of dogs. That was all he took with him. The last communication from the expedition was on 29 May 1925, when he wrote his wife a letter that he was ready to go into the unexplored territory with only Jack and his friend, which was delivered by a native runner. They were reported to be crossing the upper Zingu, a southern tributary on the river Amazon. The final letter, written from Dead Horse Camp, gave their location and was generally optimistic. Many people assumed local Indians had killed them, as several tribes were nearby at the time. The Kalapalos, the last tribe to have seen them, the Arumas, the Suyas, and the Chavantes, whose territory they were all entering. Both of the younger men were lame and ill when last seen, and there was not any proof that they were murdered. It is plausible that they died of natural causes in the Brazilian jungle. During 1927, they found a nameplate of Fawcett's with an Indian tribe. They also found a compass belonging to him, and the nameplate was from Fawcett's expedition 5 years earlier and most likely given as a gift to the chief of that tribe. The compass was proved to have been left behind before he entered the jungle on his final journey. So, that's not the end of the story.
No, guys.
Yes.
I feel like there's a turn for the horrible here.
During 1951, an activist for indigenous people supposedly received the actual remaining skeletal bones of Fawcett and had them analyzed scientifically. The analysis allegedly confirmed the bones to be his, but his son, refused to accept this. This guy then claimed that Brian was too interested in making money from books about his father's disappearance. Later scientific analysis confirmed the bones were not faucets. As of 1965, the bones reportedly rested in a box in the flat of one of these brothers in Sao Paulo. Now, during 1998, an English explorer called Benedict Allen went to talk to the Kalapalo Indians. And they were said to have confessed to having killed the three Fawcett expedition members. An elder of the tribe claimed during a filmed BBC interview that the bones found by Vilas Boas some 45 years before were not really Fawcett's. He also denied that his tribe had any part in the disappearance, and no conclusive evidence supports either statement. Then the Russians made a documentary. So everyone's excited about this story, right? And they presumed approximate place of Fawcett's last whereabouts, impressions and presumptions about his fate, and they sent an expedition out there with cameras as well. Then The Observer reported television director Misha Williams, who had studied Fawcett's private papers, believed he had not intended to return to Britain, but rather to found a commune in the jungle. Based on theosophical principles and the worship of his son, Jack. Williams explained his research in some detail in the preface to his play, Amazonia. And then this talk about this lost city of Z. Okay? During 2005... Listen to this. The New Yorker staff writer David Gran visited the Kalapalo tribe. This tribe must be so sick of people visiting and asking about this goddamn Fawcett.
And blaming them of having, like eaten him.
Yeah, leave us alone, all right? We haven't eaten a person since Thursday. How dare you? The oral account, listen to this. This is amazing. The oral account said that Fawcett and his party had stayed at their village and then left, heading eastward. The Kalapalos warned Fawcett and his companions not to go that way because they would be killed by the fierce Indians who occupied that territory. But the Fawcett insisted on going. The Kalapalos observed smoke from the expedition's campfire each evening for 5 days before it disappeared. They said they were sure that the fierce Indians had killed them. The article also reports a monumental civilization known as Kuhikugu, which may have existed near where Fawcett was looking, was discovered recently by archaeologist Michael Heckenberger and others. How cool is that? It's like a lost city and cannibals and fierce Indian tribes. Huh? Doesn't it make you want to go and explore?
I was about to say, you aren't putting us on assignment to explore this now, aren't
you? Well, listen to how many other people have gone and failed. That sound fantastic. Kuhikugu.
Well, it beats sitting in traffic.
Well, you know, this is it. We're all going backwards and forwards to work every other day, doing the same humdrum stuff, most of us. Wouldn't this be a fun thing to do?
At least Percy rolled the dice a bit. I mean, yeah, Percy didn't work out well for him.
He lived and died.
See, this is why y'all would die first in a horror movie. See, y'all is asking for trouble. We's just sitting here. We is fine. Y'all thinking this is exciting? No, thank you. Next thing, it's like Lord of the Flies, and I'm being sacrificed to the, you know, the Amazonian gods on it. No.
Trust me, see, if things got a bit fruity, we would throw you to the heathens and the beasts.
Nope.
Well, I would at least.
I just want to know, when cannibals eat you,
yes,
do they cook you first? Or do they go in raw?
It depends on the party. I mean, you could just end up on someone's body as like raw, or you could be in a pot. Depends on time of year, I guess.
Listen, I got to tell you, this Kuhikugu place is amazing. It looks extraordinary. It's like got prehistoric parts to it. It's like perfect circles.
Ooh,
it's a very interesting place.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. And it's on a lake.
Interesting from afar, or interesting as in, let me get in there.
The world.
See, you know, this is why we should be protecting indigenous areas and rainforests, stuff like that, so people can go and get killed by these amazing cannibals. Like, it adds a bit of mystery to life. We shouldn't be cutting the rainforest back.
I agree. How dare we destroy all this rainforest and those potential cannibals?
Exactly. Like, cannibalism.
Keep them alive.
Like, cannibalism has died. One of life's quirks, gone.
No.
All because Americans want to eat more meat. So think about that, Gareth, with a big burger in your face. This week.
How dare they? All right, let's get into some actual news. I just thought I'd throw in a bit of adventure and exploration for you this morning.
Very nice.
All right. What do you have for us, Mubs?
There was a very grisly discovery that was made over the weekend in Benoni by Gauteng police.
Oh, no, cannibals.
No, not cannibals.
Was it the remains of Fawcett?
It wasn't the remains of Fawcett, Gareth. But it was the remains of six bodies that were found in an open felt next to a railway line in Benoni in the East Rand. So police started, you know, doing an investigation. The bodies were discovered by a passerby early on Sunday morning, who then called them to say, you know, six corpses lying here. Authorities said that the bodies all had gunshot wounds on the upper body.
Mm.
And at the time, the motive for the killings was not known.
It's the mob.
But, you know, the police, you know, on Sunday said that they suspected that the deceased were murdered elsewhere. And then their bodies were taken to where they were discovered. The police at the time also suspected that, you know, they were illegal miners, these six bodies that were found.
Uh-oh.
And then yesterday afternoon, things got even worse when eight more bodies were discovered in Benoni as well, in a second scene, which now brings the number of deceased to 14. So 14 bodies that were found. And police now said that the victims were killed by rival gangs of illegal miners. Yeah.
What?
The spokesperson, Lungelo Dlamini, said that the motive for the killings might be linked to rival gangs who are involved in illegal mining. They said that they have launched a manhunt for the suspects. They've deployed a team of detectives to investigate the killings. But, you know, they're also appealing to anyone in the area who might have information, because seemingly this is something that, you know, happens.
Sounds like the
quite
mob.
Often.
Sounds like you expect
quite
them.
Often.
Yeah. Mm,
there's horrible happenings that happen in illegal mining. Yeah, it's very dodgy stuff that happens there. Dlamini also said that the suspects, all of them, they were killed in an unknown area, and then their bodies were dumped in different locations. So it very well could be that more bodies are going to be discovered. But yeah, so far the number now up to 14 of people who were just murdered.
Don't go to Benoni.
Oh, well.
I'm telling you, bad things happen in Benoni.
Would you go to the Amazon rainforest or Benoni?
Amazon rainforest, yeah, every time.
Me too.
Kuhikugu, here I come. All right.
But hold up. I'm not trying to condone their little murderous ways. But if you're involved in mining and you kill people, why would you dump them on a fault? Not like, you know.
Where else are you going to dump them?
You're involved in mining.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave them underground.
Good point.
Isn't this
well,
obvious?
Good point, well made.
But you know what, Sia? Maybe when these guys know the toil down there in the mines, right?
Yeah.
A dead body, the smell, the decay.
And the job of illegal mining is so dangerous because firstly, you're doing it illegally, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that you can't be protected when things go wrong, blah, blah, blah. It's just high risk overall.
Yeah, I'm with Sia though. When it comes to getting rid of a body, if you're in mining, you just drop them down a shaft. It's going to take so long for people to find them. By then it's too late.
And, you know, if it is illegal, there probably aren't 40,000 people wherever you're now going underneath ground, which means you can totally abandon it and go. There's no, like, company who's working in that area. So it would take a longer time for people to discover these bodies
right.
than to just leave them on, you know?
Yeah, but it also means that you mean business as a gang when you show your kills.
Yeah, you have to boast about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. There is no point in killing people. If you can't show everybody you killed people,
it's a sign.
You see, that's
like
how
in the criminal underworld, that's the only thing that counts, right?
Yeah.
See, that's what happened to Fawcett. Those cannibals didn't put the bones of their last prey out, so he thought, this place is cool.
Right.
If he'd seen the bodies previously, he would have treated with caution.
Imagine you walking through the forest like this Fawcett dude and you see skulls of other humans hanging in the trees.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you obviously turn around and go back
that's
home.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's no discussion that happens after that. Turn around. Retrace your steps.
See, Gareth, for example, I feel like you'd be like, ooh, let me go and investigate.
Yeah, you're on your own.
So you load the gun.
Yeah.
If you hear humans chanting and you see a rib cage on the floor, that's when you kind of go home.
Nope.
That's not when you go, oh, this is culture.
I did not see anything.
Ooh,
what happened?
I wonder if they've got some great local cuisine.
I'd love to know what their songs are about.
No, not at all. Wait, but here's another thing with that story. All of these corpses have like a
gunshot to the upper body.
How? Yes. Oh, how do you think they were? They probably had to stand in line and they were shot then.
Probably.
Because it's not like all over the place where they were probably running, you know, like one was shot in the leg, one was shot in the head. Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah. That sounds like, that's why I say it's the mob, telling you.
Oh, it's the mafia and with mining.
Who knows? It's all very sad and very scary.
Okay. In not sad and not scary news, a lot of people very excited for Trevor Noah and the fact that he made the cover of Times magazine over the weekend. Yes. Well done.
Yes, good for Trevor.
Well done, Trevor. You can put your Time magazine in your 130 million rent penthouse that you also just purchased. And make love to your beautiful, beautiful model girlfriend. Trevor, I mean, who wouldn't want to be you at this stage? Honestly, you're rolling in money. You're hanging out with celebs. You live in a penthouse. You've got a beautiful woman. You're on the cover of Time.
And a show that's now doing well.
Well done, Trevor.
I'm jealous. How about you?
Yeah, I am also feeling that jealousy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But more like happy for him, though.
Yeah, of course, but still jealous.
Still a little bit envious. He has been named as one of Time's next generation leaders. So let us go through a list of other South Africans as a reminder, you know, a little history course, that have made it onto Time's radar. Most of them good. Some of them maybe a little bit controversial. Thuli Madonsela made it onto the top 100 most influential people back in 2014. This was for her work as the country's public protector. And then in August 1966, we're taking it way back.
Way back.
That cover of Time magazine featured the then Prime Minister of South Africa.
What year?
1966.
Forster, Malan.
Mm-mm.
That's like
Verwoerd.
Verwoerd.
Sure.
Hendrik Verwoerd.
I don't know if Trevor wants to be on the cover of this mag anymore.
That's why I said some of these are a little bit controversial today.
All right.
Yes, Hendrik Verwoerd, who was the Prime Minister at the time, was on the cover of Time magazine. And the story that they wrote about him was titled South Africa, The Delusions of Apartheid.
Hmm.
Then in 2013, a striking image of Oscar Pistorius was published on the cover of Time magazine.
Shit, this is bad company, man.
That heading there, man, Superman, gunman.
Yeah.
That was how they titled that little portion. And then in May of 1999, the Time magazine issue featured the face of our former president, Thabo Mbeki. And this was because of, you know, the handing over of power from Nelson Mandela to Mbeki, which was, you know, a special report that Time did on exactly that. And it reads,
right,
as the Mandela era ends, can South Africa stay the course? Well, Time, we were staying the course up until about 8 years ago.
Yeah, we did okay, and then not so much.
And then things very quickly just went a little bit haywire.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And then other South Africans featured in the Time magazine include Archbishop Desmond Tutu, of course.
Okay, that's better.
And Democratic Alliance leader Musi Maimane also featured in Time magazine once.
He's not an architect of apartheid or a murderer. So those are good things, right?
Yeah, look.
We'll take what we can get. And I mean, okay, so far the good ones we've got, the good ones.
Yeah.
The Arch.
Yes.
And Trevor Noah.
Thuli.
And Thuli, Thuli Madonsela. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. The rest... Eh.
Oscar and Hendrik Verwoerd.
You're not so good.
So much.
I think you missed out the Mr. Gary Player cover.
I don't have it on this list. Okay, My bad.
It's all right.
But I remember.
Of course he's in there.
Just go check those facts next time.
Brenda Fassie was also included because I remember the headline was like the Madonna of the townships.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was she on the cover or just like a feature?
I wonder. No, I think it was just an article.
Okay.
But it was like quite a positioning. That was always just dope.
All right, so there's another one to be proud of.
Mm.
Okay, I'm happy about that. All right.
Hey, if you've been paying your e-tolls...
You're a dick. He's just a moron.
Apparently, there was an unexpected announcement that was made about e-toll price hikes.
Oh, yeah?
The Automobile Association commented on the South African National Roads Agency's tariff increases.
Oh, they've increased their
tariffs?
They've
increased their tariffs. So if you are paying e-tolls, you're probably one of the people who received an email last week Friday, because that's how e-toll payers were notified via email.
Yeah.
That they are going to face an increase in their tariffs.
Why would anyone want to pay these idiots? Why? I mean, you're just going to end up... They do not care about you, and they will take your money.
Bottom line.
A lot of companies that issue company cars, didn't a lot of those people go in and fit tags?
Yeah, they had to.
They had to.
Same with rental cars.
Yeah, rental cars. I mean, some people were backed into this. They had no other choice.
Why do they have to?
No, because you see, if you're in a company and you don't comply with the law, then they can come and get you in a big way, as opposed to if you're an individual. You know, they can come in and they'll make an example of you. They'll say, oh, you're a car rental company and you don't have e-toll tags. We're going to sue you. And you could end up with a major hefty legal bill. So I kind of get it, but I don't. Like, you really should be a little bit less of a pussy. Stand up for yourself. Because what this is people just taking advantage of other people. That's all. I mean, there's no other way to put it, right? It's not like you get anything valuable out of the e-toll system. And don't tell me, oh, but the roads. You know what? We had to build those roads anyway. So the money had to come from government. And because government can't manage their stuff, we had to have e-tolls. And God knows who's benefiting from that, right? God alone knows. Do you know who the beneficiaries are who own SANRAL? I don't.
No.
Well, exactly. It's the French people that made the gantries.
Yeah, but there's also some local people involved whose pockets are nicely lined. Thank you very much. What else is going on?
So there are 14 organizations who have decided that they are going to take government to court, specifically the Ministry of Public Works.
Oh, yeah?
It all began when the Public Works Minister, Tulas Nglesi, last year appointed a new Engineering Council of South Africa, ECSA. Mm-hmm. And this new appointment was aimed at transformation with a higher representation of women, of young people and young technicians, right? So it's about bringing in fresh young blood and then also, you know, having more women coming into the engineering field. So he decided, okay, I'm going to appoint this new ECSA. But now these 14 organizations are taking action against the Department of Public Works. They're alleging that there are irregularities in the appointment of the current 50-person council that was appointed. Industry players who have joined this court action say that there is a lack of integrity in the new ECSA council appointment process. They say that they are concerned it has opened the door for individuals who are unknown to the industry and who now have undue influence over the profession. According to the South African Institute of Civil Engineering, who is leading the legal action on behalf of 14 engineering associations, they say that the appointment of the current council is therefore illegal and throws the integrity of the ECSA into question, and it also weakens the engineering profession in terms of quality and safety.
Huh.
So now they're taking the department to court.
All right. Engineering, huh? Who knew they'd ever be controversial?
Sure.
You must know when the engineers start becoming controversial, government have really screwed up. This is from Bernard. He says they're on our way to the Geneva Motor Show. I'll listen to you guys all the way there. Thanks for the entertainment, Bernard. Isn't that nice?
And the things that he's going to see there.
Yeah. Wow. Now that is exciting because they unveil all the new cars, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. If you didn't hear yesterday, we had a really interesting dude pop by, Matt, and we kept him here for the whole. We kept him here for like an hour and a half.
Because we had questions.
Yeah, talking about cars and things.
The people got to know.
A lot of people asking about the Lost City of Z, the Lost City of Zombies.
Yeah, so it's a movie.
Oh, really?
Is that World War Z? Sorry.
It was a movie released last year.
Oh, never mind. Nope.
I got to watch that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, so it's a hard life for a man named Hard Life.
His name is Hard Life.
Yeah.
That's his actual name.
One word. That's right. His first name. Hard Life Chirare Mire. He's a
Zimbabwe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Zimbabwe man was so desperate to just simply watch Muvhango and not Zimbabwe's state TV that it drove him to steal. 26. Yeah. Let's just take a moment. Let's really take a moment.
All right.
26-year-old Hard Life said he tried to steal a component of a satellite dish so that he and his wife wouldn't have to watch the Zimbabwean Broadcasting Corporation anymore that he called boring and brings misery to his household. So that is why he had to go and resort to stealing. Nonetheless, he's been fined $100 for attempted theft. And that is all just because of our greatest president, Mugabe. So shame. He just wanted
Muvhango?
To watch.
Muvhango?
Muvhango.
Yeah, it's a big, big show. But now, when you...
he has a hard life, okay? All he right. has a hard
yeah,
life.
Yeah, but you see, this is my thing. When parents give names to their spawn, do they not feel sometimes that they might be setting up their children for, I don't know.
If you call someone Hard Life, come on. What do you really mean, huh?
They're calling it into being. But I just love that he actually stood up in court and this was his justification. Like, people take me seriously. Have mercy on me because Zimbabwean TV is boring.
Yeah, but to see Muvhango, I mean, it's not like he's going to... He's watching an amazing...
Black Mirror.
Yeah. He's not watching anything exciting here. He's watching Muvhango. Do me a favor.
That just says how sad the state of affairs are in Zimbabwe right now. But anyway, just wanted to quickly throw that in there. And then, are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
Let's get some juiciness going here.
All right.
Bear with me. This is kind of a big story and kind of complicated. I'm going to really try to simplify it. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden, former Vice President of America, we all know him.
Obama's BFF.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sure.
Joe the Biden?
Yes. Has an amazing family. He's a picture of wholesome. He's a picture
of
just
we love him.
All put together.
Uh-oh. You're going to spoil
he
that?
He has... Oh, guys.
He's got a second family we didn't know about?
I just love this story. Okay.
Go on.
He has, amongst other kids, two sons, all right? And so I'm not even going to use their names because this is where the story gets complicated. But for the purpose of the story, let's use Ben and Sia.
All right.
Ben and Sia, Joe Biden's sons, they get married, individually have their own wives. Individually, they also have their own kids. Get it so far?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's simple. Sia is 47 and dies in the process. I have cancer on my deathbed. This is my final hurrah. That's it. I'm dead, done. Ben, as my doting brother, is spending hours at the hospital, consoling my wife, standing in there with my kids. You know, that's what a good brother does. Mm. 5 months after my death.
He marries the wife.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
5 months after my death. Ben divorces his wife. Yeah. So now we're like, what's exactly going on? Scandal starts brewing within the Biden household. And it is alleged that Ben was involved in the Ashley Madison saga. So at first we're like, oh, shame on Ben. How's this happening?
So he was having affairs, wife divorces.
Just
him.
As it is, okay. Yes.
I really hope people have been listening from the beginning of the story because there's some really bad lines here.
Yeah, well,
me.
Now it's just you. Sorry. And now, most recently, it's just been announced that Ben is in a relationship with my wife.
Well, you said take care of her, Sia.
And Joe Biden has now approved.
Well,
isn't that kinder?
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Isn't it?
And you know,
it's a little bit uncomfortable.
No, this is a well-known situation. Grief sometimes brings people together. Then they fall in love.
Yeah, because desperation is a huge emotion.
Guys, isn't that incestuous though?
No.
Look, it's
not related by blood.
It's not. I mean, there's a simple answer to it. It's not.
You're not related by blood.
Is it frowned upon? Is cannibalism frowned upon?
It's uncomfortable. And it must be hell of a awkward for the children.
Yeah, they now have an uncle
you,
daddy.
You, as my cousin, who your father was my uncle, is now...
Dad is now
banging
also,
my mother. Like, it's just...
Maybe it's not just about banging. Maybe he believes he could be the best father to those kids.
But I'm just saying.
And that his wife was over it anyway.
It must be very awkward for the kids.
Yeah, but that's children, though. They have no say.
No, I'm just saying.
But this screws you up, hey? You know, I really do believe that, you know, it, because he did have cancer, so, you know, the family spent a lot of time in hospital or together, and I think that's when things started brewing, you know. You know, when someone's sick and you're in hospital and you're awake at like 1 or 2 in the morning and you're like leaning against each other and you fall asleep
on
the tent. You're
so exhausted and you're like there for the other person.
Like, do you want to go and grab some coffee? Then at the funeral, you know, you're trying to console my wife. And then, you know.
Things happen, man.
Oh, then she leans over and you look at her bra. Nasty, though. I think it's nasty. So Hunter Biden is the brother who's now dating the widow. Says, Haley and I are incredibly lucky to have found the love and support we have for each other in such a difficult time. And that's been obvious to the people who love us most.
Yeah. Well, listen, you can't judge. You're not in it. And in this situation, it's going to be awkward enough for them. If they make each other happy, if the kids are okay with it, if Joe the Biden and Jill Biden are okay with it, let them be.
Oh, what you have a brother. Would you be cool with your brother doing this?
What, taking my wife?
Yes.
Well, he'd be dead.
Yeah, but you see, I'm that petty person in the afterlife. I'd just come back to screw you over and haunt you because
of that. Oh, come on. No, you're dead. What do you care?
Man.
Here's Double D says, Ben, I'm so glad you discovered F is for Family. The show was created by Bill Burr, most probably the best comedian in the US at the moment. He sells out Madison Square Gardens for a stand-up show. He does the voice of Dad in the show and is the main writer.
Yeah, it is quite unique. I'm really enjoying it.
Hmm. Greg says, dump the bodies down a mine shaft like Cheryl De Villiers from Isidingo. Ha ha ha. Good idea, Sia.
Hey, Sherelle.
Sherelle, that's
right.
And then Greg says, I believe Sherelle hasn't been caught yet.
Yeah. You see, that's how she has
it. Maybe Sherelle's the kingpin of this Benoni illegal mining gang. Right. Horizon Deep turfed her out, and now she's in Benoni.
Someone says here, it happens with us Zulus too. When the brother dies, the other brother sometimes takes the wife.
You know what happens in India?
Yeah,
they burn the wives.
Oh yes.
Oh jeez. Yeah.
Not so much anymore. Well, obviously not today, but I mean, not so long ago.
Sure. If you died, your wife has to be burnt with you.
You just get thrown in the fire.
because it's women, her fault.
Because women aren't important.
It's just her fault. Damn it, Sia. Stop asking silly questions.
She was there and she had a vagina.
Yeah. So therefore, go in the fire.
That was precisely her problem. Is she had a vagina?
Somebody just sent me the Lost City of Z official trailer. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Let's just see. I'll try and explain what's going on. Those are the sounds of the Amazon.
There's a major exploration afoot.
Terrible disease, murderous savages. The journey may well mean your life.
If we may find a city where one was considered impossible to exist, it may well write a whole new chapter in human history.
You going up river, are you?
Ain't nobody comes back from up there.
Your soul will never be quiet until you find this place.
We must turn back. There is no turning back.
Oh my God, do you hear the tribes people?
It is your destiny.
Oh my God. All right, well, there we go. That's The Lost City of Z. Then he comes out in April of this year. Ha!
Ah.
There we go. See? It's not ideal.
Well, that's something to look forward to. So you know J.K. Rowling is always having a go at Donald Trump?
Yeah, she doesn't like him. Oh. She doesn't like Piers Morgan.
Yeah, well, she's finally said something really, really funny.
Yeah?
It's dawned on her that Donald Trump is actually Vicky Pollard. Now, Vicky Pollard from Little Britain.
Oh, yeah?
So that's what she says. She's likening him to Vicky Pollard because all the stories are like, oh my gosh. And he's just ranting uncontrollably, mostly incoherently about all kinds of things, just like Vicky Pollard, the star character from Little Britain.
Well, let me remind you about who Vicky Pollard is, just so that you know. This is how Vicky Pollard sounds. And
what is our vision of modern Britain? That's a big question. I mean, I think it's...
Not that. Sorry. Wrong clip. Here it is. All right. So this is Vicky Pollard. She's a rough girl from town.
Council estate.
She wears pink tracksuits, has long hair.
17 kids by the age of 14.
One thing both of our countries can be proud of is that we have the finest juvenile delinquents in the world. At this boot camp in Utah, some new inmates have arrived.
Everybody out! On the double! Make a line! Move it, ladies! Move it, ladies! Move! Let's go!
You'll hear Vicky now. She's unmissable.
Welcome to Wilderness Lodge. You are here for a reason. Arson. Drug abuse. Violence. It's going to be tough. But if you stick to the rules, you'll survive. Okay. Roll call. Latasha Dean.
Yeah.
Kaylee Evans.
Yeah.
Natalie Kirk.
Yeah.
Vicky Pollard.
Yeah, but... No, but... Yeah, but... No, but, yeah, it's me, but I shouldn't actually be here or something or nothing, because let me tell you the whole thing, because this whole thing happened, what I didn't even know nothing about, because a whole load of us went up Disney World, only we all got chucked out for beating up the Aristocats, and then Hannah Garvey said we should all go back in after midnight and burn down the Peter Pan ride, as a joke, so we all went back there, but I never done nothing, all I did was, like, pour the petrol, light the match, that is it, and all of a sudden I well started getting blamed for it, but it wasn't just me, and if Kelly Raymond says it was, then don't listen to her, because everyone knows she dyes her moustache.
Okay, that's kind of how she sounds. Right. So that's a JK Rowling says
she's
Donald
finding
Trump's
she's
answer.
Finding all these old tweets and just saying this is okay. This is Vicky Pollard.
All right, well,
they're both orange and they're both really emotional and
Donald does say stupid stuff,
stupid things.
Right. You want to hear someone else who says stupid stuff? Jaden Smith. Listen to this. Here he is. Jaden is reading some mind-blowing facts about the universe, and believe it or not, this comes from Vanity Fair magazine, which I'm about to cancel my subscription for. All right.
The human brain takes in 11 million bits of information every second, but is aware only of 40. In an average lifetime, human skin completely replaces itself 900 times. You see your nose all the time. Your brain just chooses to ignore it.
What?
You see your nose every time your brain just chooses to ignore it? I kind of see mine.
Yeah, what if you've got
big,
a massive
ugly nose?
Kind of true, though.
What's that? No, come on.
No, as in, you see your...
I see my nose. I hate my nose.
But your body, your brain, like, just chooses to ignore it.
No, I only wish mine could.
Like, you don't
that
see
that and
constantly.
My small penis.
Mind
oh, no.
blown.
Listen to it, mind blown.
There are more synapses, nerve connections in your brain than there are stars in the galaxy. My God.
Wow.
You were once the youngest person in existence. On Saturn and Jupiter, it rains diamonds.
How?
Human saliva contains a painkiller called opiorphine that is 6 times more powerful than morphine. Sharks have been around for longer than trees. That one's hard to believe, but it's actually true. There are more stars in space than grains of sand on Earth. 50% of human DNA is shared with a banana.
Unbelievable.
There are more ways to shuffle a deck of cards than there are atoms on Earth. If you drilled a hole through the center of the Earth and jumped in it, it would take 42 minutes to reach the other side. There is a jellyfish that is immortal. If you add up the total amount of hours that World of Warcraft players have played the game, it comes out to over 6 million years. I actually play World of Warcraft, so that's really funny. 1 teaspoon of honey is the lifetime work of 12 bees.
Isn't that amazing?
The oldest living person was born, they had an entire different set of people on the Earth with them. No one was the same. Strawberries aren't berries, but bananas are, and so are watermelons and avocados.
How?
For every human on Earth, there are roughly 1.6 million ants.
My whole life has been a lie.
How are Vanity Fair involved here? I don't understand what's happening. Is this a...
I think it's a piss take. I think they know what they're doing.
This is often what Jaden tweets.
Yeah.
And he'll tweet like these just arbitrary things about like, oh, isn't the sky purple? So they're now just putting a collection of all of these things that he totally believes in. Because this guy is just Koratu not well. Just Koratu.
They're having fun with him.
Oh, okay, all right. Because it's very confusing if you don't know the backstory of why is this happening? Is it an ad campaign? Is it creating awareness for something?
I have to tell you, like, some of those facts are pretty cool. I hate to not make this about how irritating Jaden Smith is, but some of those facts are pretty awesome.
See, I think the parents were a bit too liberal in how all of the kids were raised.
Hang on. Here's Will Smith talking about why Jaden sometimes wears women's clothing. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. You talk about liberal parents. I mean, I'm all for, you know, I think liberal parents, great. Why let your kid be told by society what to be, right?
Now, Will, I know what you're thinking.
What, yes.
This is your face on my t-shirt.
That's absolutely my face on your t-shirt.
I woke up this morning thinking, should I? Is it too keen?
No.
Are you happy with this?
That's perfection.
Because I didn't want you to think, like, I won a competition to do... I actually do work here.
No. Listen, I can tell that was a specific choice out of love.
It's in my top three t-shirts. Yeah. Now, seriously, I caught concussion the other day. Mm-hmm. The Nigerian accent. Mm-hmm. How did you prepare... for a Nigerian accent? Were you eating jollof rice, watching Nollywood movies? How did you get into that?
You know, what was really great is I got to spend time with the actual doctor.
Amazing.
So I went with him and I was with his family and, you know, I met his children, all of that. And I got to essentially base the character on the real person. So that made it a whole lot easier.
Because it's not easy to speak in medical
while these two are talking rubbish.
While
have you seen how many really beautiful women Jaden Smith has dated?
Who has he dated?
He's like a bunch, I'll tell you now.
Don't you mean ambitious women? Come on.
What are they attracted or drawn to?
His murderous name. Famous father?
His name.
All right, so he has dated this girl called Madison Pettis. She's very pretty. She seems to be, she's quite a winner. All right, then there's a girl called Stella Hudgens. Then there's a girl called Sophia Richie.
Sophia Richie, that's Lionel Richie's daughter, who's now dating Justin Bieber.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then Kylie Jenner, he dated her for a while. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yes.
Then he dated Sarah Snyder, and they've been dating. They're still together by the sound of things.
But this is the same guy who's rocked up to a girl's prom as the date, wearing a Batman suit.
Well, he wears the part of this. Look, it's 7 minutes of interview. I'm not going to bore you to death with it. But basically, Will says, you know what? If Jaden wants to wear women's clothing, that's cool. He doesn't have an issue with it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Mubs,
this is why I'm not having children, because I don't want to be faced with, you know, situations like that.
Like, I'm just scrolling through.
What?
Like, you know, when your child, I mean, Angelina Jolie, didn't she also have a similar incident with her daughter, I think, because people were criticizing her daughter for looking like a boy, for being dressed up like a little boy, you know, and she basically, you know, said the same thing that, well, if that's what my child prefers, then that's what my child prefers.
You don't know whether you'd be open-minded enough to deal with that?
It's just stressful because then you have every other idiot commenting about it.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean.
You know, even if, you don't even have to be a celebrity, like your mother-in-law. Like, oh, why are you letting him wear dresses? Fuck you, bitch. Like, every other idiot will involve themselves in your parenting skills.
All your would-be mother-in-laws have just breathed a sigh of relief that you didn't marry their sons.
You see, I'm not anti, you know, being liberal or letting your kids be for freedom or whatever, but I'm just cautiously aware of a kid being a bit too crazy.
Well...
I'm scrolling through his timeline here, like Twitter timeline. He tweets things
Jaden?
Like, yeah, Jaden. He says, I just got on the TMZ bus and told everyone I threw up. What does that mean?
You see, there I blame. There I blame the parents.
Yes.
And
what does that mean?
It is their fault that this product has emerged. Okay.
He then tweeted, "When Hova, Jay-Z, when Hova got engaged, do you think he said, 'This is my fiance,' or 'Beyonce'?" Like, what is that?
That's pretty. That's pretty funny. "This is my fiance, Beyonce." Sorry, I like that. I think I might get along with this kid. All right, here's a nice email. This comes from Marika. She says, "Hey, I usually don't listen live, but it's almost bedtime in Austin. I just finished Garrett's book, Cliffhanger. Decided to tune in. Absolutely loved the book and found it incredibly inspiring. So much so that since I've only been in America for less than 3 years and lived in Silicon Valley and Austin, I wonder why I have not yet taken the plunge and started something of my own, despite several good and bad ideas. Thanks for the inspiration, Gareth, and thanks to the whole team for making my drives around Austin, Texas spectacular. Love you guys, Marika." Wow. Well, Marika, who knows? I might bump into you in Austin in the next couple of days.
That's nice.
Huh?
Yeah.
Not a nice message, though?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Isn't that a cool message to get?
So for this trip, are you like taking all of your adventures from last year a step up? So your tequila adventures.
We didn't actually do a lot of that stuff. It was mostly, you know, when you go to these things, you were at Design Indaba just the other day, but I mean, it seems like you had a party. usually if the days are really full, you're just so exhausted by the nighttime, you get to your hotel and you collapse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like you're full of energy and you're like, "Oh, let's go out now." Plus, it's not really that kind of – it's a lot of the nerds and geeks and tech people. And look, it's fascinating. You see robots and you see virtual reality experiences second to none. And you get to do amazing, amazing stuff and hear amazing people talk. But it's not really a party, you know.
Mm.
In some ways, I think it's almost the opposite. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try and have a party anyway. You know, I do love a good tequila, so I'm going to find some decent stuff. And maybe I'll bring some back here and we'll do a tasting in the morning I get back.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
What? Sure. Can we do that tasting in the afternoon and then report back in the morning?
No, we got to drink shows. Early in the morning, like an alcoholic would.
Guys.
Hey, Mubs.
I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
What?
You know that I can't handle tequila, though. You know this for a fact.
We'll be crawling on
How many times when we've been out in a social setting, you'll buy a round for everyone and I'll be like, I'll hand mine over to somebody else.
Yeah, because you're not even going to try.
No, because I know that tequila makes me violently ill. I always get sick after drinking tequila. Always, without fail.
This time you haven't got the bottle of wine under your belt. You're going to go straight into the tequila.
No, it's the whole taste of it, Ben.
You're such a grandma.
It's just revolting, and it makes me want to vomit immediately. Can't handle it.
Bali's new theme song. From now on, this is your music, all right? Okay. What do we have to do? I haven't even looked at the schedule for this morning yet. I know we've got a guest coming in at 8. Let me see what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Were we meant to talk to Thulani Radebe? Oh, it didn't happen. All right. Well, then I don't feel bad because I was worried that we were going to speak to him. We've got Robbie Kajetan coming in. He's the bucket list guy. Huh? Don't you want to, like, hit your bucket list?
Mm.
Is he doing a bucket list or does he design bucket lists?
No, he, well, he...
We'll ask him.
Listen, I mean, this guy's got an amazing story. He, the book Left Foot, Right Foot's a journey from the seat of a wheelchair to the summit of the highest mountain on earth. He took a fall during a routine training session in an indoor climbing gym, left him in a wheelchair with severely broken ankles, ruptured tendons, permanent damage to both feet. It sentenced him not only to a year in a wheelchair, but also to put a stop to his dreams and aspirations as a mountaineer, a business owner, and a normal everyday person. Can you imagine how that changes things?
Sure.
So, he'll talk to us about Mount Everest. He'll talk to us about the depths of despair and kind of almost giving up. And then about deciding, nah, hell, I've got a bucket list of things I still want to do. He's 38. And he comes from advertising. That's his background. So he's got an interesting story to tell. Worked as a freelance art director, copywriter. And he's written his book. And his bucket list has taken him to 6 of the 7 continents. He's climbed 5 of the 7 summits, a mountaineering challenge to summit the highest peak on each continent. He's also climbed around the world in the Himalayas, East Africa, Russia, and South America, as well as several spontaneous adventures that found him piranha fishing in the Amazon, bungee jumping at the Victoria Falls, whitewater rafting at the frigid snowmelt of the Andes, and plenty of other exciting stuff. Doesn't that sound good?
It does, Gareth.
Maybe we can ask him about those dangerous Amazonian tribes as well.
Before we get to him, do you want to know what 8 animals are more likely to kill you than a shark?
Yes, let's do it, because we need to know what to be careful of.
Yeah, because if you think you spend your entire life trying to avoid sharks.
Try laugh. From 4 ways, but
if you take your entire life staying away from crom and
it's
sharks,
my life.
Then you're going to miss these guys who really want to kill you.
I can do it, aye.
Okay, so jellyfish.
You want to rot.
Jellyfish kill 100 people.
Brawl.
100 people every year.
Jellyfish.
100 people.
Listen, hang on, Ben. You can't just through. See us going very like macho and 4 ways here on us. Give him a second.
Do you want to rot, eh? Is it like the doll? Is it the Betty in the corner, eh? It's my laugh.
The bunt.
Oh, the bunt, eh?
Smart.
See, you must be Grom with Kabilu.
You must be the most incorrigible drunk in the world.
Yes. Huh?
All right. This is why we don't need to drink tequila in the morning.
No, we really do.
Ben, so back to jellyfish. Here's Ben's list of dangerous animals. Come on, let's just humor him.
More dangerous than sharks. We don't have to do this, Gareth. We can go to a song.
I'm curious, Ben. Go on.
So 100 animals a year. Sorry, 100 people a year. Jellyfish, hippos. They're nasty bastards, right?
Yeah, no. We know hippos are dangerous.
3,000 people.
It's because they're overweight and unhappy. That's why.
Exactly. And they have to be in the water. And, yeah.
That explains hippos.
Everything.
You're on fire today. Look at you.
3,000 people for hippos. 600,000 for...
600,000 must be mosquitoes.
Yes, correct, Gareth. Okay. These bastards. 600,000 people annually. The tsetse fly...
Where are those found?
Yeah.
Africa. They're really horrible. They look like maggots that became flies.
We've mostly got rid of them, but there are still sort of places where you'd find them, in like in the Eastern Transvaal and that sort of area. Mpumalanga, Swaziland, Mozambique.
Yeah, well, they kill 10,000 people every single year. Yeah. Bees? How about bees?
But I thought we were meant to be friends with bees.
Yeah, well, they still kill.
Because they pollinate the flowers.
You kill a bees. It's in the name.
Okay. Got to be a couple of 100,000 as well, right?
No, just 53 a year.
Oh.
So count yourself unlucky if a bee kills you. How about them ants?
Ants don't kill a lot of people.
Yeah, you're right, Gareth. But they kill enough.
About 5.
30.
Oh.
30 man. People a year where it says ants dead. Cows? How many people do cows kill?
No. You know, I had an ancestor who was killed by a vicious cow.
Well, there's one.
The cow charged at him.
Brown
cow.
Do you want to know for real?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read you his obituary. This is so funny.
Did they put it in the obituary?
They found it in the newspapers.
That's sad.
His name was Alexander Kidwell. He lived in somewhere in the Eastern Cape. He was killed by a vicious cow. They don't give you details of how the cow killed him.
I'm guessing the cow pushed him down a hill.
Probably walked over his head.
Cows kick, right? They can.
Yeah, they can kick.
Yeah.
Well, they've got legs, yeah, so they can't get angry with them.
All right, anyway, I can't find the story now.
Cows kill about 40 people every year.
Has to be farm workers.
Bear in mind, the reason I'm saying this is because all of these animals are more dangerous than sharks.
Really?
Yeah. Ants are more dangerous than sharks. 30 ants and deaths.
See, they can, like, crawl into your ear canal or something.
Yeah. Snakes? Snakes kill around 50,000 people every single year. Snakes are horrible.
Yeah.
And sharks? You. How many do you think sharks kill every year?
7.
Just 10. Ants are 3 times more dangerous than sharks. There we go.
You see, we've got this irrational fear of these poor sharks. They're not that bad. Everybody stop with your nastiness about sharks, okay?
Let's just go and hug a shark today.
Yeah, go on.
I don't.
You just heard the numbers. Statistics don't lie. Right, Ben?
Of course they don't, Gareth, unless you're a politician and you were looking to manipulate them.
But I mean, here, these poor animals have to put up with us making them these scary things that eat people at every given opportunity. They don't want to kill us. Most of them don't even care.
Oh, let's put that on our bucket list.
Don't swim with the sharks. By the way, think about your bucket list. I want to ask you about it in a moment. Just put five things down. You don't have to put a whole long 2,000-page list.
Okay.
Because I know what you're going to do, Sia.
Well, I'm trying to year of yes it, so that's yeah, also exactly. What I'm trying to do.
All right, yeah. So Ben, I expect your bucket list in the next half hour.
Yep.
Yours and Mabali's and Sia's. And Lucas, yours too. Bucket list, all right? I want to know what's on yours. We got the bucket list guy coming in to join us in a moment or two. It is cliffcentral.com on a Tuesday morning. Right.
Cliffcentral.com.